Good morning and welcome to WJTN's The Times of Your Life. I'm Andrew Hill, and today I'm without Russ Dietrich because we're going to feature a program today that was actually recorded this past Monday, September 20th, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. Fayetteville is where my sister, Danielle, and her beautiful family are currently located as my brother-in-law continues his service in the United States military. For those that have experienced firsthand or maybe have been very close to a family that has experienced the Army life, there are many wonderful advantages that come with serving our country, as well as many challenges when it comes to raising a family while moving around the world. My brother-in-law will be leaving for a six-month adventure to North Africa in just a few days, and I made a surprise visit with his advanced knowledge to see my younger sister Danielle and my nephew Carter and my nieces Arabella and Adeline. After a few days of swimming in the 80-plus degree North Carolina sunshine, it was time to sit down, pull out the microphones, and have a conversation about their travels as a United States Army family. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Well, and thank you for having me in your home here in North Carolina. We are in Fayetteville recording this program, and Danielle's husband is Derek. Derek, you enlisted in, what, the reserves at a high school? How did that work?
Yep. It was January of 2001. We moved to Florida and then did my little reserve time until
reserves.
Yep, until July 2007, and then that's when we went to Hawaii.
What is it, Derek, that actually made you make that commitment to say, you know, I'm going to go active in the military?
Yeah, so the reserves wasn't really fulfilling, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I wanted to do something more rather than just the 1 weekend a month and 2 weeks a year. Mm-hmm. So I remember having to talk to Danielle and just like, look, this sucks. There's more out there.
Right.
Let's just do it. Let's just go active duty and see where it takes us. And
now, before that happened, you had family that had military background, right?
Yeah. My mom's dad was in World War II. Mm-hmm. So landed at Omaha. And my dad's dad was in Vietnam.
What type of stories were you exposed to as a child with those family members?
Not much, actually.
Really?
No. So I didn't really learn anything about their military service until I was already in. And I would come home on leave and talk to
really?
Both of them.
Yeah. What did they tell you about getting your family involved in the armed forces? I mean, is it something they tell you, you know, hey, this is what you have to be prepared for, or is it kind of like learn as you go?
I think it depends on if you go in with a family or not. Mm-hmm. So I knew it was pretty family friendly. There's going to be the obvious points in your career where you're separated. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's family friendly. There's organizations within it that preach the family values, and mm-hmm. and they want the spouse and the kids to be involved in the organization. So it's good. It's
so,
a good military life. It's good family life.
So Danielle, my sister, you're getting married to Derek, and you know his intentions are to do something with the military. What was it like for you?
So originally when Derek went in the Army, we were actually dating. And I remember him being like, yeah, I went to see a recruiter today. And I would have been like 16. And I'm like, what? So that was pretty much after we started dating. So I'd always really been in a relationship with him as and him being, you know, involved in the military.
Sure.
And his original idea was that he did want to go active in the Army. And I was the reason he didn't because it is scary.
Right.
And you have to kind of just think, well, might be thankful that he didn't go in the active Army right out of, you know, high school because, you know, a lot happened in 2001 in our military.
Great point.
So, yeah, he was reserves for those 7 years, and maybe that was for a reason, but so when he finally did decide, I'm going to go, I'm going active in the Army. We're doing this. That was scary because it was finally like, oh, okay, we really are doing this.
You make a great point because, September 11th, before that, it would have been like, oh, all right, okay, great. Post 9/11, 2001, we had no idea what any active or volunteer member of the military was going to be encountering.
That's right.
And you were just, on God's side at that point saying, whatever is supposed to happen, happens, or?
Yeah, absolutely. It was up to him. And we were just in a place where it was time just to change our life. We, being in the reserves and the Army in Florida, Derek was working four jobs, and we just, as a couple, decided we're not going to continue to have him working that many hours to pay the mortgage. And it was just like, all right, so the Army is it. That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I think I felt that.
Was that because of, you or the commercialization of, patriots, this is it. It was emotional, or was it more like, I'm looking at this as more of a job?
No, I don't think it was looking at it as a job, because I did a deployment in 2003 with the reserves, and I knew that I could offer more, or I could do more than what the reserves was having me do. So I knew that I could be out there, and I hated being the guy on the sidelines. I hated watching the cool stuff happening. I hated watching other people live out what I wanted to do. So that was kind of the turning point.
So Army, Navy, Air Force, why the Army?
I don't have a solid reason for that. It was,
that's okay.
Yeah, it was, I had some buddies that had joined, and they kind of paved the way, I guess. So I followed in their footsteps. I knew it was going to be a good career. I knew it would have been plenty of opportunities. And it just, I guess it made it easier to join a branch of service that I already knew people were in.
So after Florida, you guys end up being in
Hawaii.
All right. So you go to Honolulu. What went through your mind the first time you heard that, hey, Hendrickson, you're going to Hawaii?
My first reaction was, Danielle is going to be heated. She did not want to go. Because we had the choice to kind of give your top three places you want to go. And, and we had kind of talked. And I said, I'd love to go to Hawaii. Why not? Who wouldn't? You know,
sure.
I knew it was an option. So why not? And she's like, Derek, I do not want to go to Hawaii. She was pregnant with Arabella. And being that far away from family, pregnant, having to give birth, like that's just not her ideal scenario.
So, Danielle, you literally land in Hawaii, paradise. What's going through your head?
Actually, when we were flying into Hawaii and I looked out the window, and it was just unbelievably gorgeous. And there was a local next to us, and he said, welcome to the islands. And I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And it was. It was just a little disorienting, moving, and all your stuff's on a boat, and your car's on a boat somewhere, and you're just kind of in the in-between. But it turned out to be absolutely awesome.
How old was Carter at
this time? One.
He was one. So you're traveling with Derek to Hawaii with a one-year-old and another one on the way. You land in Honolulu. How soon after that do you remember when Derek was deployed?
It was a year after. So he had a year on the island, and then he was gone a year, and then we had another year on the island. So it was 3 years altogether.
For some people listening might think, sounds like paradise. Once you actually live there, it's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, they call it rock fever when you're on the island just too long and you need to, get off and But for us, we had two children under two at some point. So getting off the island wasn't so easy. I did fly home a couple times mm-hmm. with the kids by myself. That was awful.
It's a long trip. Do you remember how long? I mean, how long is the...
It was a full 24-hour trip. From the moment we would leave our house in Honolulu to when we would get back to Jamestown was a full 24 hours.
In that moment, in that time, Derek, you are where?
So it was Iraq.
What can you tell us? What were you doing at that point, and what year was this?
Oh, man. So I went there 2007, mm-hmm. and then deployed 2008 to 2009. And my job was a forward observer, so calling for artillery mm-hmm. And airstrikes with about, you know, platoon sided elements, so around 30, 40 people. Mm-hmm. And then if we need artillery, I'll be the one to call for the artillery where we want the artillery to strike, or mm-hmm. if we have helicopters or jets on station with us mm-hmm. to drop bombs or shoot their ordnance. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of mopping and...
What mopping? I mean, you're not sweeping, you're not janitorial, you're... What are you doing?
No, we do a lot of... So we had an area... at this time, I was in Samarra, Iraq. So we had an area in Samarra that we were responsible for. And we'd have to go through this area. And we're doing a lot of key leader engagements. So we would engage with the governing authority of the area that we're in and try to figure out what they need, mm-hmm. where we can support them, where we can assist, what kind of issues they're having as far as the new transformational government, things like that, establishing security forces. So we're out there doing a lot of legwork, mm-hmm. meeting with the local populace and just trying to figure out where we can fit in to help them get back on their feet mm-hmm. and establish themselves. Each day kind of directed what would happen mm-hmm. the following days.
Okay.
And obviously there's some things like the elections. We knew that we were going to be out there pulling security and trying to make the polling stations safe so they can establish their democracy. But for the most part, it was, you know, we'd go out and we'd figure out what we can do. We'd come back, we'd make a plan, and we'd go execute the next day, the next week, whatever it was. You knew you were going to go on a mission. Mm-hmm. You knew what your job was, mm-hmm. and then you knew that you were going to come back.
There were some people that did not come back. What was that like?
So it sucks. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. It's one of those things that you knew in the back of your head was going to happen.
Right.
Or there was a possibility that it would happen.
Right.
But it's always that it never happens when you think it's going to happen.
Sure. Well, because they don't train you or prepare you that it's going to happen, but you had a best friend that didn't come home.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a couple. But I'm still close with one of their moms. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, I don't know, I guess it kind of, I don't want to say it works out, mm-hmm. but there are support groups, there are organizations that will step in and kind of drag you along the process, I guess.
Right. Danielle, back to you. At this point, did you know what Derek was doing when he was gone?
I knew that he was doing missions and, you know, there was times when he couldn't, we wouldn't hear from him for a while.
How long's a while?
I think the longest we went without hearing from him was maybe a month.
A month?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, that's a lifetime for.
Yeah, yeah. It was. He was either on missions or the internet was down, or you know.
Did he tell you that? Hey, listen, it could be 3, 4, 5 weeks before you hear from me again.
No.
Really, it wasn't.
Yeah, no.
So he was just like, "All right, talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Call when I can."
And a month later.
Yep.
What was that like for you?
So what I had to do was make a ton of friends and be really busy. Mm-hmm. I was so thankful to join a local group called Baby Hui, which was local Hawaiian moms. And, you know, you'd have play dates and mom dates. And it was just kept myself super busy. Became involved with the FRG, which is the Family Readiness Group. Okay. So that's all the spouses that your husband's with, all of the wives and the families. And you just stay super busy because there's nothing else you can do. Mm-hmm. But have as much fun as you can.
When you get to a new installation, you go through in processing period. And during that period, they outline all the organizations that are there to assist the military member and the family. And one of those things is the Family Readiness Group, so the FRG. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is where the spouses get the most of their support. Mm-hmm. So before deployment, you know it's coming up. The FRG starts to have more and more meetings. You start to meet more and more people. Mm-hmm. All these other organizations will come and kind of sell themselves so that the spouses know where they can go for support. So there's a lot of organizations that are there.
There was, like I said, the FRG. There was a call tree. Everybody was invited to the FRG events, or they were on the email list, and there was just events that they would host, and there was a lot. Mm-hmm. And then Army, you know, their support groups, and they offered you a lot.
After Hawaii, you guys were relocated to Kentucky.
Yeah, so Fort Knox.
Your family's growing. What's the lifestyle like for a military mom at that point?
Well, you know, now you've established yourself in a certain community, and then you have to leave. And now you have to go start a new one and create a new community and new friends and people to do life with. And in Kentucky, Derek actually deployed twice in those 4 years we were there.
Two.
Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. So our third daughter, Adeline, was actually born at home, and he was on Skype to be there.
What's going on at your tenure in the U.S. military, in the Army, in Fort Knox?
So we got there, man, I don't even remember when we got there. Was it October?
September 2010,
like I said. We got there September 2010. And I think I deployed in December of that same year. So it was on her again to establish everything. And I was there for a couple months. But within that time, there's obvious requirements that I have to do to get ready to go. Mm-hmm. So I can't just be at home helping her set up the house.
Sure.
And buy the curtains and... all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was on her, and she did and does a phenomenal job at establishing a home everywhere we go.
How old was Carter in Kentucky?
Carter would have been 4, 5.
It might be a good opportunity for us to bring him into the conversation because Carter is here on the Times of Your Life on WJTN, which is presented by Lena's Pizza and Rainer's Liquor Store.
And one of the great things, if you know somebody that's lived out of town or they come back to visit, maybe they're in the military, One of the first places they stop is Lena's Pizza. Lena's is proud to bring you the times of your life, and they're proud to bring you the most delicious pizza and homemade ingredients, fresh, never frozen ingredients at Lena's. They take pride in serving the local community, and they want everybody who comes back home for a visit to really get a taste of home and not be disappointed. And that's why whether you reside in town or you're just visiting, Lena's Pizza is the place to go. And they've got a versatile menu that everybody loves, whether it's a hankering for pizza or a salad or you just want some jumbo chicken wings. Say the word and Lena's has you covered. Don't hesitate to reach out to them for special orders. If you've got the big Bills party coming up, all you have to do is contact them. Lena's Pizza, 484-0600, 484-0600. They've got all the specialty pizzas. They are delicious. The lemon pepper wings as well. They got the deep fried veggies. And it's truly going to be a satisfying experience if you go to Lena's. Their fresh dough, their family secret sauce, perfect, especially when families like mine come back home and want to experience a little taste of southwestern New York. Lena's Pizza. Place your order today for pickup later at 484-0600, 484-0600. It is Lena's Pizza, 902 East 2nd Street in Jamestown.
Carter, do you remember Hawaii?
I remember, like, bits of Hawaii, but not as much as you would think. Like, I would remember going to the beach sometimes, but I don't, that's pretty much it. I was really little then. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's probably about it.
Do you remember bringing me beers on the polo field?
Nope. Don't remember that.
All right, so you go to Kentucky. What do you remember about Kentucky, being a young military, you know, child? You're, you know, I moved, I'm in a new school. What do you remember?
I mean, I remember obviously going to school, the bus rides. Mm-hmm. I remember some of the pig roasts we had, the parties. Like, I remember a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I wasn't that young. I could remember most of it. So, I mean, it was kind of like just living anywhere else. Like, I have memories of that place.
Were there other students or friends in your same position that were military kids?
Oh, for sure. I remember a lot of people that, like, on the bus, there was half, maybe more than half the people were in the same position. They would move around a lot.
How do you know that? Would you, like, ask them, like, where are you from or, you know, who?
I mean, yeah. I was friends with most of them. And, you know, their parents sometimes would have parties with mine. So it was kind of, I could tell like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, yeah, friends with most of them.
I want to set us up to where we're at today because I don't know if we'll have enough time to talk to you again. But here we are today in North Carolina in Fayetteville. Think about this, Carter. You were born in Florida, lived in Hawaii, Kentucky, Oklahoma, which we'll get to, and now to Germany. That's a pretty good record of places for you to live. What do you say about that?
It's a good experience. A lot of good has come from it.
Mm-hmm.
And even though if somebody asked me like where have you lived, and I would just say more than three places, they would just be in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Like they never heard that before.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of good came from it. Probably more good than bad came from it.
In all these new places, you were the American, you know, on foreign soil, Germany.
That took a while to get used to.
Yeah.
I can't lie. Because, I mean, everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
The only normal life that I was used to was probably base. Because, you know, there's not that. It's like kind of an American foundation. But
right.
Other than that, it was just everything's different. Stores, restaurants, roads. It was just a lot to learn and get used to.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I do not know.
And that's okay. From your experiences in the life that you've lived, is there anything you've realized you don't want to do?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, everything that I've seen has made me take into consideration of what I would probably want to do.
Uh-huh.
So from what I've experienced, it's not like, oh, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. Like, I would just bring it into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I would probably choose.
aside from being a very proud uncle, I'd say you seem to be a very bright young man. I think you're going to do good.
Thank you.
So thank you for your time.
Yes, you're welcome.
I'm Andrew Hill. Russ Dietrich is listening intently, but he is not here in the studio because we are recording this program today from Fayetteville, North Carolina, here on the Times of Your Life. Back to Danielle and Derek. Danielle, 30 years ago, would you imagine you'd be married to a military man and have gone to Florida, Hawaii, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Germany, and North Carolina?
Absolutely not. No.
But you, I mean, you went along for the ride.
Absolutely, I did. And it's been awesome.
Mm-hmm. What is it about this man, Derek, that you met as a high schooler that persuaded you to follow him halfway across the world?
I think for Derek and I, were a little different because we really did fall in love as kids. And we just knew we were meant to be together, no matter what that looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was follow him.
From that early age, I mean, he didn't say, hey, I'm Derek, I'm going to be in the military someday. But the day he said, you know, like he said earlier, you know, we're going to take this leap of faith, I'm going to do this. What was your reaction?
At that point in our life, when he decided he was going active and moving away from reserves, it was terrifying but exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew we had to do it. We knew it was time mm-hmm. for us.
You're a father, you're a husband, and you end up in Oklahoma where the – I don't remember the rest
of it. I don't want to start singing because I'm afraid of all the contracts that will come with it.
Contracts.
But finally, you end up in Oklahoma.
This move was – it felt exciting. We had been in Kentucky for 4 years, and it was mm-hmm. just time to move on to the next one. And then we stayed in Oklahoma for 4 years and, again, developed a whole new life.
4 years.
A whole new community. I mean, every duty station we go to, we become best friends and family with our friends, and we found them in Oklahoma, too.
But you stay in touch with all these families still?
Absolutely.
How?
Social media.
Mm-hmm.
It really helps, mm-hmm. Just to see how everybody's doing, and because you do, you become family.
At that point, how old was your second oldest child?
So Arabella was 7 or 8 when we moved to Oklahoma.
Old enough to have some memories?
She has some memories.
And with that said, my niece Arabella Jane Hendrickson takes the microphone here. Beyond Oklahoma, what is your earliest memory ever?
I don't really know. Maybe going to the beach in Hawaii, but that's about mm-hmm. all I remember of Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
And then it just goes to Kentucky.
What do you remember of Oklahoma, your experience there?
I know that we had a lot of really good friends, like, mm-hmm. in the neighborhood. I know I had a lot of good friends in, or at school. One of my best friends I met in first grade, and I'm still in contact with her, so.
This is Aiden?
Yeah.
So all these years later, you still are in contact with the best friend that you had made, I mean, halfway across the country.
Yeah.
And you even made it to Germany and still came back to the U.S.
Yeah.
And are still friends with this person.
Yeah, she's definitely my best friend in the entire world.
Aw. So what's it like being, you know, your mom and dad aren't listening right now. They've closed their ears. They're muted. What's it like being the daughter of this man in the military, in the Army?
He's very, I don't know, outgoing, mm-hmm. I'd say.
In all these years, you've moved here to there to there to there. I mean, you've been in Germany.
I guess the job made us move, but mm-hmm. I feel like us moving was like the best thing for our family.
Mm-hmm.
Because I guess we grew more as a family when we had to move and all we had was each other. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would see people from other places we've been, but for the most part, it was just really us.
You guys were in Germany during the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah.
What was that like for you?
We had to do virtual school for the first semester.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't really a lot of kids in the neighborhood near my brother's age.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of just hung out in the basement, as weird as it sounds, doing schoolwork for most of the hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I babysat sometimes for the next door neighbors to, you know, earn some money.
Uh-huh.
But really, there was all these places we could have gone, and it kind of got stopped short because of COVID.
Right.
So we didn't have as many opportunities to, you know, go explore
mm-hmm.
Outside of Germany.
What was schooling like there? Were you on base for schooling, or?
We were on one of the military bases.
Okay.
I went to Netzeberg Middle School. School was very easy for me mm-hmm. there because I understood all the subjects.
Right.
And I knew what to do. One of the electives was German, obviously, because we were in Germany.
Right.
But really, not much was different from a normal American school because mm-hmm. we were on base. I think the only German teacher we had was our elective teacher.
It's a precious, very important time.
Yeah.
For you to influence your daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from growing and you're in Germany on an American army base, and this is such an important time, and your husband's doing, you know, what he has to do, and you have another youngest child who we'll talk to later, but I mean, this has got to be like just a crazy time for you.
It was crazy. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of just trying to make it as normal as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Even though felt like the world was on fire all around us, and we're in a foreign country in the middle of a pandemic and lockdown. Because I mean, German lockdown was much different than American lockdown.
How's that? That you know of?
There was, you know, no restaurants were open. You could really only go to the grocery store or the doctor.
Nothing.
Yeah, where we were in Bavaria, the state we were in, it was, you know, and you had to wear masks, and everybody just did. It wasn't a debate. You just did it, and it was. So we just tried to stay as normal as we could and create a school type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
We all would go down into the basement, and it was like the schoolroom,
mm-hmm.
and we were together, and it was just, the kids kind of laugh because they're like, oh, the year COVID in the basement.
Right.
But I think they were great times because we were together and we were safe. So.
Right. So you look back on that time together and go, all right, that's great. That's fantastic. All right. It's Germany. It's time to come home to the States.
Yes. It absolutely was time to come home.
So you come home and you end up in Fayetteville. This is it. This is the last run.
Yes,
Your husband, Derek, is 4 years away from retirement.
Yeah.
And he is about to deploy. By the way, for our audience, Derek is such a fantastic person. He is actually right now left us because he had committed to an individual to help him with something for educational purposes.
Right.
We'll leave it that way. So Derek has left us, so we won't be able to get a final word from him, but I think it's time to bring in who I call the baby.
She's the baby.
She's the baby. My niece is Adeline Gale. Adeline, welcome to the times of your life. Adeline, sit down, bring up that microphone with a few minutes left. Adeline, tell our audience, how old are you?
I am 8.
You're 8 years old. And, I mean, what is your earliest memory, Adeline, of being a military family? What's your earliest memory ever?
Oklahoma, probably.
Maybe.
Or Germany.
What do you remember about Germany?
We had friends from our next door neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And COVID-19.
Yeah.
That's probably all I remember.
Do you remember the plane ride home over to America? Do you remember that at all? What was that like? What was it like being on an airplane forever with a mask on during the pandemic?
I just wanted to take it off.
Yeah, the whole time?
Yeah.
And then you got to your brand new house here. Well, first, before you got to your house, where did you go?
To get our dog, Mumford.
Your dog, Mumford. And Mumford is like a big dog. Let's put it that way. What was it like getting your dog back that you had not seen for a couple of years?
It was really exciting to have him back.
Yeah.
But I didn't remember him that big.
Yeah, he got bigger, huh?
Yeah, so it was a, like a little scared. But then when I got used to him, I wasn't scared of him anymore.
Right. And then you guys came back to Jamestown, New York, and spent some time between your Grandma Betty Jane's down in Warren, Pennsylvania, and Grandma Cheryl's up here in Jamestown, New York. And you got to spend some time with your cousins, right? Was that fun?
Yeah.
What's it like being in this new house?
It's really, like, I'm happy that we live in a house like this.
Mm-hmm.
In a neighborhood like this.
Mm-hmm. You have a pool?
I have a pool.
What's your school like?
It's pretty hard to get used to.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
It's because we did so many, like, it was so different from Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how you get on the bus.
Yep.
When you go to recess.
Mm-hmm.
Eat in lunch or room or
right.
Go to the cafeteria.
So many new rules and new procedures to go through and get used to. Yeah. Well, what do you think it's going to be like a year from now? Think things will be easier?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get used to it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think about your dad being in the Army?
I like that he's in the Army, but he's not really home a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
And he's going to be away for 6 months.
6 months is a long time, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm not going to like that.
You're not? So what do you think you're going to do to make it go faster?
Probably just forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
Forget that he's there. Well, he's not here.
Right.
And just...
Could you imagine, Adeline, long time ago, if you were the same age, you would have had to write him letters. Wouldn't that have been crazy?
Yeah.
And then you'd have to wait weeks and weeks and weeks and maybe months to get a letter back from him?
Yeah.
So now, if you wanted to talk to him, what would you have to do?
Go on my iPad, text him,
mm-hmm.
saying, hi, how mm-hmm. are you?
And he gets back to you pretty quick, huh?
Yeah.
It's pretty neat, huh? When he leaves, he'll be gone for 6 months, but he'll come back. And what do you think the first thing you're going to say to him when you see him again is going to be?
How dare you leave me?
And that audience is my niece, Adeline. It is WJTN's The Times of Your Life. We are unfortunately out of time for this hour. Special thanks to my family, the Hendrickson family here in Fayetteville, North Carolina. What a great way to end the show. Sincerely, Danielle and Adeline and Carter and Arabella and Derek, thank you for your time. Thank you for your insights and love you very much. And for what it's worth, we're very happy for your husband and your father's service. God bless all of the American families that are going through what you guys have done to support our freedoms and our future here for the US of A. Thank you.
Thank you.
Again, special thanks to my brother-in-law, Derek Hendrickson, sister Danielle, nephew Carter, and nieces Arabella and Adeline for welcoming me into their home and sharing their experiences with our WJTN Times of Your Life family. I hope you enjoyed it. Today's program was brought to you by Lena's Pizza and Rainer's Liquor Store. And as this summer comes to an end, we're officially in fall, starting to get that little chilly out there. We got some great things for you available at Rainer's Liquor Store to warm you up. That's right. How about High West pre-mixed drinks? Yes. The distillery, the Manhattan, they have the barrel-finished cocktail. They have the old-fashioned barrel-finished cocktail available to you. It's in right now at Rainer's Liquor Store. They also have, I talked about this last week, the brand-new peanut butter whiskey. That'll warm you up after a nice cold night. The gin and tonic mixes, the gin and soda mixes, they're ready in the cans, available for you. Bourbons of all kinds, the Svetka vodka, real juice in the cans, in black cherry lime, strawberry lemonade, mango pineapple. If you're a wine connoisseur, you love wines from all over the world, Rainer's Liquor has a great selection in stock. And if there's something special that you think they should order and carry in the store, ask them. Sometimes in the chillier starts of the day, you want nothing better than that cup of happiness and maybe some Irish cream. And they got the Molly's coconut and the Molly's original Irish cream. Rainer's Liquor Store, Fluvanna Avenue in Jamestown. If you want to call ahead to see if they have what you're looking for, 716-664-4503. That's 664-4503. They're also very active on Facebook. So if you want to look up Rainer's Liquor Store, Bloody Mary Mix, got to try it. Frank's Red Hot Original Bloody Mary Mix is fantastic. Rainer's Liquor Store, proud to bring you WJTN's The Times of Your Life.
father, raise a daughter and a son, be a lover to their mother, everything to everyone. Up and at 'em bright and early, I'm all business in my suit. Yeah, I'm dressed up for success, from my head down to my boots. I don't do it for the money, there's bills that I can't pay. I don't do it for the glory, I just do it anyway. Providing for our futures, my responsibility. Yeah, I'm real good under pressure, being all that I can be. I can't call in sick on Mondays when the weekend's been too strong. I just work straight through the holidays, sometimes all night long. You can bet that I stand ready when the wolf growls at the door. Hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core. And I will always do my duty, no matter what the price. I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice. Oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, 'cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American. Beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front lines, sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American soldier. Take a stand. When liberty's in jeopardy, I will always do what's right. I'm out here on the front line, so sleep in peace tonight. American soldier, I'm an American, an American.
Start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, and I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to L.A., well, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the man who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the